We are continuing to look into the life of the Apostle Paul from the New Testament. And Paul is now an aging evangelist, you might say. And he's in Caesarea awaiting his, his extradition to Rome. And so I want to share a message tonight about a portrait of a hero. Paul certainly was a hero, wasn't he? I want to share a portrait about his life. You'll turn with me, please, in your Bibles to the book of Acts. If you look in chapter number 25, I'm going to begin reading there in verse number 23, and then the complete chapter 26, which is 30-some verses there. Rather lengthy passage, but we need to see it all so we can get the meaning for the message tonight. So Acts chapter 25, verse number 23. Now, you find Paul now. He has been in Caesarea. He's being sequestered there in prison, and now then, Felix has passed away, and a new governor has come on the scene by the name of Festus. We pick up here in verse 23. Festus calls for King Agrippa to come to Caesarea to look at Paul's case. So verse 23, chapter 25. And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice, with great pomp, and was entered into the place of a hearing, with the chief captains and principal men of the city, at Festus' commandment, Paul was brought forth. And Festus said, King Agrippa, and all men which are here present with us, you see this man, about whom all the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought to not live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself hath appealed unto Augustus, I have determined to send him, of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord, wherefore I have brought him forth before you, and especially before thee, O King Agrippa, that after examination had, I might have somewhat to write. For it seemeth to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not withal to signify the crimes laid against him. Then in chapter 26, then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand, and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things into which I will appear unto thee. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them at Damascus, of Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained the help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Felix, or Festus, excuse me, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them, and when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, This man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, This man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Paul, what a portrait of a hero. If you and I were to recognize a person we would call a hero, whatever they might have done, some great deed or deeds that they've committed or they've done. Maybe they're like the two police officers we saw on the news last night, if you saw it, that went into this burning house and saved this family. Heroes, no doubt. But if you'd ask them if they were a hero, they'd say, Why, no. We're not heroes. We're just doing what they said we were doing our job. Others might say, Well, we were just doing what anybody else would do. If they were in the same situation that I'm in, they'd do the same thing. So they don't. Most people that we consider heroes, they themselves don't consider themselves heroes at all, do they? No, they don't. Well, there's many, many heroes throughout all the Bible, and I could just go on and on and on, take all of our time talking about them. But let me just mention a few that you're really familiar with. What about young David? Formerly, he'll be later King David, but as a lad, David goes out to the battlefield and he sees this giant, Goliath, who's defying the armies of Israel. He's defying the living God. And David said, Is there not a cause? And his brothers mocked him and laughed at him because he was just a little shepherd lad. Still had the smell of sheep on his clothes. And here he wants to stand before this giant and attack this giant. But nonetheless, David took his sling and five smooth stones, didn't really need but one, and we know the story, how he walked up to the giant and he slung the stone and hit the giant between the eyes and killed him. So instantly, David was declared a hero throughout all Israel. Saul brought him into the king's court, and later on we know David became king. What a hero he was. But would David consider himself a hero? No. He was just doing what he felt like he needed to do because there was a cause to which he committed himself and he put his life on the line so that cause could go through. Well, what about Daniel? You know the story about Daniel. He was commanded not to pray toward Jerusalem and he prayed and they caught him and they said, Listen, you're going to have to go to the lion's den. Now, there's a big difference, beloved, between going to a lion's den and a den of lions. You can go to a lion's den, nobody be at home. But if you go to a den of lions, there's somebody at home. So he's thrown into the lion's den, and of course God delivered him. what a great hero Daniel was. But would he say he's a hero? No. He was just standing up for the Lord as he always had done. Then you think about the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how that they refused to bow before the king's idol. They said, if God doesn't deliver us, we're still going to serve God. We will not bow. We will not bend. We will not budge. We will not serve your idol. But they were thrown in a fiery furnace, and God was there with them. They all three came out alive, doing quite well, by the way. And do they claim to be heroes? No. They were just standing up for a cause greater than themselves. And then think about Esther. Everybody knows something about young Queen Esther, how she went before the king, taking her life in her own hands on behalf of the Jews. She was willing to risk her life that she might save the lives of countless millions of Jews. And God brought her through, gave a great victory. Would she classify herself as a hero? No. She just gave herself for a cause greater than herself. And you can just go on and on and on. Elijah, he always just threw himself in the mix so that God could get the glory and honor and praise, put his life in his own hands, and God always took care of him, didn't he? We can just go on and on and on with Bible examples all the way through the Word of God. But I want to come back to Paul. Paul's the one we want to center our attention on tonight. Paul, we'd all agree, no doubt, is one of the greatest of all New Testament heroes. Wouldn't you agree? He's probably the greatest New Testament hero except the Lord Jesus. Now, what made Paul a hero? What made Paul do the things that Paul did? What made Paul live the way that Paul lived? We need to go back to the book of Acts as I've read these chapters, portions tonight to hear us. See a word portrait of a real New Testament hero in the life of the Apostle Paul. Several things came to my mind and to my attention when I was studying for this message tonight. As we see Paul standing true for Christ, it didn't matter where Paul was. It didn't matter what situation he found himself in, accused of this and accused of that. He knew he was not guilty. He just served the Lord. Well, we ought to look at Paul's life in a little bit more depth and ask our Lord, Lord, reproduce in our lives some of the great things, great qualities that we see in the life of the Apostle Paul. Not that we'd be proud and call ourselves heroes, but that we might stand up faithfully as Paul did. Let's look at some things in his life. Four word pictures make up the portrait, I think, of the Apostle Paul. I want you to see these four things with me tonight. Number one, I want you to see Paul's dedication to Christ. We've already read those verses in chapter 25, verse 23 through verse 27. Again, I say, the former governor, Felix, has been replaced now. Festus, the new governor, comes on the scene. And Paul has appealed to go to Caesar. And to Caesar, he's going to have to go. But now, Festus is concerned about having a case whereby he might send with Paul maybe crimes he thought Paul committed or some violence or something. Because if he made the emperor, Caesar, upset, his head would be on the block. So he had to have a good case, he felt. So he asked King Agrippa to come, to maybe help reinforce his charges, you might say, against the Apostle Paul, to hear Paul's testimony, to hear Paul's case. So he hoped to have help and strengthening from King Agrippa to send Paul to Rome. So here comes King Agrippa, in all great pomp as kings would do, great ceremonies and all kind of dignitaries, you know, that follow kings and dignitaries. They all come now to Caesarea, and they assemble themselves in a courtroom setting, and then Festus commands to bring Paul out that they might hear his testimony, look at his case, and then discuss the outcome. Beloved, listen. This court that stood before Paul, Festus, the governor, King Agrippa and his wife Bernice, and all these other dignitaries around that courtroom scene, that group of people was filled with incest and immorality, and here they sit, real smug, going to judge the life of the Apostle Paul. They had no authority to judge him, but nonetheless, they did. they would determine whether Paul would live or whether Paul would be killed. Now, why did it come to pass that Festus said to King Agrippa, I can't find anything where this man Paul has committed a crime. I just can't find any charges that really would stick to send over to Caesar when I send him to Rome. I just can't find it. Well, I'll tell you why they couldn't find it, because Paul hadn't done anything wrong. Paul hadn't broken any laws. He hadn't committed any crimes. He just served the Lord. It didn't matter to Paul where it was or to whom he had to stand before or what he was questioned about. Paul just stood faithful to the Lord. He said, I just believe the same thing the Jews believe. The whole 12 tribes believe the promise that God had made of the resurrection of the dead. And here now, I believe what they believe. Now they're just calling me in question and accusing me. Paul was only guilty, as I can find in this word, of one thing. His dedication to the Lord. Wouldn't we all pray that God would help us have the same kind of dedication to our Lord that Paul showed all through his Christian life? Help us, Lord, reproduce that in our lives. Let's look a little deeper. From the picture of the dedication he had here to Christ, you find Paul's determination to the cause in chapter 26, verse 1 through 11. He does a twofold thing here. Notice how he cordially addresses King Agrippa there in chapter number 26. Look at verse 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews. What a cordial, you might say, introduction Paul made of himself to the king. Now, Paul wasn't like some of these hell, fire, and brimstone preachers who'd stand up before the king and shake his fist in the king's face and tell him he's going to die and go to hell. Paul knew how to handle himself in the face of kings and dignitaries. And immediately when he addresses the king like he does, you know what it does? He gets an immediate hearing from King Agrippa. He instantly gains a hearing. And then he begins to remind the King Agrippa. He said, King Agrippa, I know that you know all the laws concerning the Jews. You know all the Jewish customs, and I know that you believe the prophets, what they have written about the Lord. I know that you know all about these things. Well, it's for these things that I'm being called into question about the resurrection of the dead. Then Paul goes into sharing his dedication over the years. He said, the Jews here know me from my youth. They know me as touching the strictest sect of the Pharisees. He said, I outstripped them all. I was the strictest one of all the religious crew called the Pharisees. And I was so strict in this that I got authority from the chief priest and I took warrants, we'd call them today. He called them papers, or he'd take warrants, he'd go from place to place, and he just threw himself into the cause of ridding the whole world of Christians. And whatever Paul did, you can be sure of one thing, Paul gave it all he had. Always he did it. He didn't halfway do anything. He went all the way or none. So he takes these warrants and he starts persecuting Christians. He says by his own testimony, that I persecuted from city to city, even to strange places, and when I brought them back in chains and they were condemned to death, he said, my vote was cast against them and I just tried my best to eradicate all of them. Paul let King Agrippa know in his first commitment against Christ and the church and Christians, he was most sincere in what he tried to do. But alas, Paul was sincerely wrong. So you find now, he's not being proud. He's not trying to be a hero. He's just being honest about where he had been and what he had done. He was determined to a cause he thought was greater than himself. But then Jesus came on the scene. And you find the third word picture here of Paul's portrait. Look at Paul's declaration of his new commitment now to the Lord. You find that in verse 12 through 23 in chapter 26. I won't read those again. You can look at them for yourself. Now that Paul had King Agrippa's undivided attention, he's going to quickly declare his change of commitment to eradicating Christianity to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives a rather lengthy passage here. He talks about how he was going to Damascus to rid them of Christians. And on the road to Damascus, he said, "A light appeared to me, brighter than the midday sun. And all of us fell off of our beast on the ground, and Jesus appeared to him. And he said, 'Paul, why are you persecuting me?' And it's on the Damascus Road experience he tells King Agrippa that the Lord saved him, and the Lord called him to apostleship and to be a preacher of the Word." Now, Paul, again, said, "Well, I went to Damascus, changed my commitment now, I'm serving the Lord now. I go to Damascus, and the Jews set about to slay me." They didn't trust Paul. They didn't believe Paul had come to know the Lord. And so they set about there in Damascus, and they tried to kill Paul there. And ever since that Damascus Road experience, until the very day he was standing here before King Agrippa, they had just dogged Paul's heels everywhere he went, all that he did, every place he visited, they tried to kill him. Why were they so adamant that Paul didn't deserve to live? I'll tell you what it was. Paul said, "They charge me because I preached repentance of your sins and forgiveness of your sins and to put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And I also preached," he said, "that Jesus was the first real resurrection from the dead." Now, you know there were other raisings from the dead in the New Testament, but now there was only one true resurrection, and that was, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, "Well, the Jews believe in the resurrection, yet they want to charge me as guilty of some crime because I preach it." He said, "King Agrippa, I know that you know all about the Jewish religion. I know that you believe the prophets. I know you believe the Word of God." Was Paul trying to be a hero here? No. Paul was just standing up for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was just declaring his newfound commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet there's a fourth and final portrait here to make up Paul's complete portrait. I want you to see how these passages conclude in the decision concerning Paul's case. That's found in chapter 26, verse 24 through verse 33. As Paul continues to testify before King Agrippa, old Governor Festus about took all he could stand. The Bible says he stands up and he shouts and screams, "Paul," he said, "you've lost your mind. Paul, you're mad. Paul, much learning hath made you mad." Paul said, "I'm not mad. I haven't lost my mind. I'm just declaring what the Lord Jesus has done and what he's doing in my life." Well, then he goes back to talking to King Agrippa again. And here is a statement that King Agrippa says. After he hears Paul, all that Paul has to say, he says, "Paul, almost. Paul, almost. You persuade me to become a Christian. Almost. Nearly becoming a Christian." Do you know what almost becoming a Christian will get you? Do you realize what nearly becoming a Christian will do for you? It'll land you in hell one day. We don't have any record whatsoever throughout the New Testament that King Agrippa ever did give his heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I know this, he's under deep conviction because he said, "Paul, almost you persuade me to be a Christian too. Nearly, almost, but still lost." So His Majesty the King Agrippa, he stands up, and his wife Bernice, and as they stand, the whole court recognizing the king, they all stand up in honor of the king, and they leave the courtroom. And they go aside, and they start discussing Paul's outcome, discussing what we're going to do about this man called Paul. What are we going to do with him? Well, Agrippa says to Festus, He said, I don't find anything wrong this man's done. This man's not guilty of any crime. In fact, Festus, you could turn this man free right now and right here if he had not appealed to go to Caesar. And you know, if he appealed to go to Caesar, because Paul was a Roman citizen, they had to send him to Caesar in Rome. He had to be able to appear before the Caesar himself, and they must bring a case against him. So Agrippa says, you don't have a case. There's nothing this man's done wrong. He could go free, except he's asked to go to Rome, to the Caesar. Now, why do you suppose Paul would ask to go to Rome? He knew, we'd studied a few weeks ago, how God had already appeared to Paul in the night, and God had already promised Paul, you're going to testify for me in Rome. He already knew God was going to guarantee him he was going to Rome anyway. So why would Paul appeal to Caesar? Paul just agreed with what God had already said. So now they have no choice. They have to send Paul to Caesar. Do you think Paul would consider himself a hero here? I don't think so. None whatsoever. He was just standing for Christ. He was like a situation I know you and I are more familiar with. All of us remember 9-1-1, don't we? That terrible assault against our nation. That one plane that was destined to go to the Pentagon and crash. There's some men on that plane who attacked the terrorist. You remember the story? They accosted the terrorist on that plane, and that plane crashed in a field in Philadelphia. Why did those men do that? We would classify them as first-class heroes, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we say they were all heroes? I believe we'd all agree. Why did they do that? They attacked the terrorists so that countless other people's lives might be saved. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul did all through his Christian life. He gave himself. He stood for the Lord so that other people, countless other people, down through the ages until your day and my day, could come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. On one occasion, Paul said, I would be accursed of God. I'd glad to be cut off from God if the nation of Israel could be saved. You know what I say? That's a hero. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Paul, for what you did and how you stood. But you know something? Jesus Christ is the greatest hero that's ever lived. So these signs you see in people's yard, in my yard, thank you, Jesus, are not just little placards that you stick out in your yard. It's a message. We thank our God that He came and He gave Himself. He gave His life that countless millions of other people, their lives would not be lost. So Paul was just holding true with his convictions as well as his commitment. And was Paul a hero? Yes. If you'd ever asked Paul, Paul, you feel like you're a hero? Paul said, well, no. I'm just doing what Christ called me to do. If these men could come back from that death in that plane crash, if you would stand them out here and ask them, were you trying to be a hero on that day? They'd say, no. We were just trying to prevent other precious souls from being destroyed. Daniel wouldn't say, I'm a hero. The Hebrew boys wouldn't say they're a hero. Esther wouldn't say she was a hero. A hero. A New Testament portrait of a hero. I don't think there's but one greater than Paul, and it's our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.